afraid of the dark. Just relax and let the darkness fall over you.
Welcome to Afraidish, a podcast where every four episodes we venture into a new state and take a deep dive into the history and paranormal while enjoying some tasty adult beverages. From ghost sightings to hauntings, urban legends and cryptids, let's get weird and afraid-ish together. Hi, I'm Paul.
And I'm Ashley.
Welcome to episode 19 or episode 3 of Texas.
Whoop whoop!
Yay. So, we had a date night tonight.
Yeah.
And I've basically been drinking since I've gotten off work.
That's like 4 o'clock this afternoon.
So me and some friends from work. Some friends and I from work went to a brewery down the street from work called Show Me.
Actually, some friends from work and I.
Okay.
Went to a brewery.
We went to a brewery down the street called Show Me Brewery, and it's basically you go in and you can basically buy anything you need to make your own beer, and they have a small bar in the corner where you can buy different
beer they brew there on site using the equipment they sell.
And it's so good. I had 3 beers, and they had more alcohol than... more ABV than I'm used to.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm.
So it was really good. And then we went on a date night, and then I had a mojito.
Yes.
And that was delicious. And now we're drinking margaritas again.
Well, and I had 2 cocktails.
Yeah, you did.
Because I ordered a cocktail that I've had several times at this restaurant before. But when they brought it out, I was like, that's not... the right color. I tasted it. I was like, this is too grapefruity.
Yeah.
Like, not that there's anything wrong with grapefruit, but what I ordered was a raspberry and sake cocktail. And this was like a grapefruit cosmopolitan or something. Yeah. And I was like, this is not my correct drink. So then you said something, because I wasn't going to say anything, because I'm... And I just spilled my drink because I talk with my hands. And when you talk with your hands, you shouldn't hold a glass in your other hand. Anyway, I wasn't going to say anything because I'm not someone who typically complains or advocates for myself. But so you said that it was the wrong drink.
Yeah, because I'm trying to be that. I mean, I wasn't trying to be an asshole, but I want to stand up and say, hey, this isn't what we ordered. So hopefully... And they ended up giving us the right drink.
Right, for free. So I had 2 drinks for the price of 1.
Yeah, so.
So, and now I'm having a 3rd and spilling all over myself. So we'll see where the night takes us.
It's all right. Anyways, so yeah, that's our night so far. So let's go ahead and get into 5 more fun facts about Texas.
Woohoo! 5 fun facts!
5 fun facts. All right, number 1. Did you know that the fastest legal speed in Texas is 78 miles per hour?
78?
On average. On average, yeah.
That's weird. I guess on average?
Yeah.
Wait. The fastest legal speed on average. No, I don't want to know the average fastest legal speed. I want to know the fastest legal speed.
However, there is a stretch of road between Austin and San Antonio where the speed limit is 85 miles per hour, making it the fastest legal speed limit on a toll road in the United States.
On a toll? I didn't know there were toll roads.
I didn't either, but...
in Texas.
Apparently between San Antonio and Austin.
Huh.
So... It's because it's a straight way. Texas basically is basically flat. And
right.
I've been through some of those roads, and I've gone
85. Your sister says that as long as you have a Texas license plate, you really don't have a speed limit. That Texas cops won't. Now, this is from your sister, but that Texas cops won't get you if you have a Texas plate, but if you're an out-of-state plate, they will get you for doing barely any over the speed limit.
Yeah, it makes sense. But, you know. Anyways, number two. The state of Texas has a rich rodeo tradition that dates back to July 4th, 1883, when it held the world's first rodeo.
The world's first rodeo.
Yeah. Today, rodeo is considered the state sport of Texas and is taken seriously by its residents.
Huh.
The original rodeo in Pecos, Texas is still running strong after more than a century, while the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo is the largest rodeo in the world, attracting over 2 million attendees annually.
Good for them.
That's... I've been to several...
I don't get it.
I've been to several local rodeos in Aurora.
Never have I ever been to a rodeo. Well, midnight rodeo.
That doesn't count.
And I thought I was going to get kicked out. Because the people that I was with decided to flash their junk multiple times.
If anybody doesn't know, Midnight Rodeo is a bar in Springfield, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, yeah, basically a nightclub.
I didn't go there because my choice. I went there because the group I was with was like, let's go to Midnight Rodeo. And I was like, do I fucking have to?
Yeah. I've been there a couple of times. It's
somebody in my group decided to have sex with the bull.
Oh my gosh.
On the bull. With the bull. She was riding the bull and she was enjoying herself very much. She's the same person that decided to flash people multiple Jeez. Times. Yeah, I was like, oh my god.
Crazy. Anyways, number three. Tyler, Texas is home to the largest rose garden in the country.
Oh!
With a vast expanse of 14 acres and an impressive collection of 38,000 rose bushes that feature up to 500 species. The city attracts thousands of visitors every October who come to enjoy the Texas Rose Festival, a three-day celebration of all things floral that has been a tradition since 1933. It's a perfect place to stop and smell the roses and a must-visit destination for all flower enthusiasts.
So 14 acres?
Yes.
And how many different species?
500.
500 different species?
Yes.
And how many individual bushes?
38,000.
All right, so I have my goal.
So you want to beat that. Okay.
I have two. That
we
means.
We have, what, almost half an acre?
Almost.
I don't think we're going to make it.
Just keep buying more land, man.
Yeah.
Does it have to be contiguous acres? Do they have to be connected? Can we just buy random plots of land?
Sure.
I have 36 half-acre plots full of roses and various other flowers and botanicals.
Yep.
For those of you that don't know, it's garden season,
yeah.
And that's pretty much my life right now, and it's not going so well.
Yeah, she's been trying to work on her garden for the past few weeks, and
that part's going fine. It's the seeds that won't fucking germinate that's literally killing my soul.
Yeah. It sucks.
Anyways.
Number four. The Big Tree is a famous and ancient landmark located in Goose Island State Park in Rockport. It is estimated to be 2,000 years old and attracts many visitors due to its impressive size and history. Its towering height and sprawling branches make it a breathtaking sight to see. And it is a must-visit for anyone exploring the natural wonders of Texas.
Goose Island?
Goose Island.
Big Tree?
Goose Island State Park in Rockport.
What's the name of the tree again?
Yeah, Big Tree.
The Big Tree, okay.
Yeah. So she's looking it up to see what it looks like.
I like trees.
Yeah.
Oh, is it mesquite? Is it a mesquite tree?
I don't know. Probably. Just look up Big Tree in Goose Island State Park in Rockport.
Doesn't say what species.
Okay.
Hello, Google. What?
Do you want me to pause this?
Oak. It's an oak.
Big oak tree.
It's an oak tree. Wow. Can we go see it and then go see the Rose Garden?
Sure. We'll make a road trip.
Next time we go see your sister.
Yeah. All right. Number 5. It is illegal to sell your eye or allow a camel to roam freely in Galveston beaches using a feather duster to clean a public building is also prohibited. So these are a few of those weird ass laws.
I know. Hold on. You've got me. I'm like
there's
whiplash.
Three different ones.
So it's first, illegal to sell your eye.
Yes.
In the state of Texas?
Yes.
And then in Galveston, you cannot let a camel roam free.
Yeah, on the Galveston beaches.
God damn it, there goes my summer plans.
And at the same time, you can't use a feather duster to clean a public building. So don't ride your camel down the beach while trying to clean a building.
And selling your eye. What if I'm trying to sell my camel's eye in exchange for a feather duster?
I think that you could do that because it's not a human eye.
So
there's no law against selling.
But then I'm going to go use that feather duster to go clean a public building.
That you can't do.
What if it's a building I own? What if I own the public building?
It's not.
Can I still not use a feather duster to clean my own public property?
I don't know.
Define a public building. Are we talking like a bar? No, that would be private property. Like an establishment. Are we talking like courthouse?
Probably, yeah.
So like,
something that the city owns or federal building. I don't know.
So how do you clean those buildings? Like you say, I'm a maid company that
they don't use feather
dusters. The city of Austin has hired to clean their crystal chandeliers.
They don't use feather dusters. They use
What would you use to clean a crystal chandelier? A fucking feather duster.
Those cloth dusters that catch all the dust. You know.
A crystal chandelier. We're talking a crystal chandelier. You don't want to be up there with a microfiber cloth. You want to get in with a feather duster and
I don't know how it works. I don't know. Let that shit be dusty. I don't know. All right. Anyways, in our last episode, we talked about Horace O. Wooten's Hotel Wooten. In this episode,
Wooten time.
Wooten. In this episode, we will talk about the other building Wooten built at the same time, so people from the hotel would have something to do.
They gawked at ankles.
I know.
What? I mean.
But, you know, other people that don't like gawking at, you know, ladies' ankles.
Who doesn't like to look at ankles?
I do. I know.
They are so.
I know. I know.
Alluring and and sensual.
And saying that, now let's use our imagination and get transported to the Paramount Theater in Abilene, Texas.
Okay.
All right. When referring to places that showcase movies, the term used is theater, theater. On the other hand, a venue for live performances is called a theater, theatre.
Theatre.
So, from now on, through this...
Are you gonna say theater?
I'm going to say theater for T-R-E. And theater tree. For T-E-R.
Tree.
So places that offer both types of shows usually use the label theater or cultural arts center. So, yeah. The Abilene Paramount was recently restored and renovated, prompting a change in its name from theater... T-E-R, to theater, T-R-E. The renovations have brought about an exciting new era for the Film Palace, and it is fitting that the name should reflect this transformation. Horace O. Wooten commissioned the construction of the Paramount Theater in 1928 to boost the business for his neighboring hotel.
No way!
Yeah. David S. Castle was the architect chosen for this job, and even today, the theater is still adjacent to the tall building beside it. This is a testament to the successful marketing strategy employed by Horace O. Wooten years ago. And also, David S. Castle is the designer of his hotel, the theater, and the MIMS building right next door, which we talked about. I think it's an office building downtown. So he was the architect for a lot of buildings downtown.
So what was his relationship to Mr. Wooten?
Just a business partner, I guess.
Business partner.
Anyways. So the Paramount Pictures Theater Division identified the Abilene Paramount Theater as an opportunity worth exploring. They saw the potential of this space and believed that leasing it would benefit their already expansive portfolio of theaters. Its stateliness and atmosphere make this historic theater especially attractive to moviegoers, providing a unique experience that no other theater can offer.
No way!
Yeah. Moviegoers at the Abilene Paramount have enjoyed first-run successful Paramount Pictures films before they debut elsewhere.
Oh, Firenzler!
For example, Carol Lambert's Safety in Numbers and 1931's horror classic Dracula premiered exclusively at the theater 2 days before their respective Valentine's Day debuts.
Wow!
The Abilene Paramount was a popular destination for many soldiers during World War II. After the war, business continued to thrive in the 1950s, and Paramount Pictures sent them new films. However, between 1948 and 1954, antitrust laws were implemented, meaning studios could no longer monopolize products by overseeing exclusive theater showings. As a result, these sweeping regulations forced all the studio theater divisions to either shut down or sell off. The Abilene Paramount Theater had difficulty acquiring first-run films from each studio at affordable price. As a result, the owners were required to reassess their strategies to make this possible. To succeed, they had to develop creative solutions that would enable them to obtain these films without breaking the bank. The Abilene Paramount Theater was a beloved community film palace for the residents of Abilene. The owners successfully adapted to the changing times and introduced the independently driven screening venues. As a result, they succeeded in reviving patron attendance by providing top-notch movies.
Nice.
Unfortunately, despite their hard work, downtown Abilene lost its luster as a tourist and commercial destination in the early 1970s, which eventually caused a deterioration of the Paramount Theater's popularity, which that kind of happens in a lot of downtowns.
Yep.
So,
I'm not going to go on this rant, but yes, it happens.
It happened in my hometown, so.
It's still happening.
It happens everywhere. And then, fortunately, some downtowns are actually trying to build back up. Some, yeah.
I feel like Springfield's doing a decent job of it. But at what point does that become gentrification?
Yeah.
And you're displacing...
Right.
Vulnerable populations. Although I don't know that downtown Springfield, other than its unhoused community...
Is
really displacing a lot of vulnerable populations. Yeah. It's just causing rent everywhere else in the fucking city to skyrocket, because if they can charge it for a fucking loft, why can't they charge it on a condo 6 miles away?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Fucking college towns.
Yeah. The nearby cinema triplexes have been successful, which has led to a decrease in patrons visiting Abilene's Paramount Theater. This has made it challenging for the theater to continue operating, mainly due to the building's aging condition and needs for repairs, which is a significant task to address.
I mean, yeah, that's really sad.
Yeah.
Capitalism kills everything, including itself.
Yeah.
But I won't go on that rant, but that's sad.
It is, yeah. The Abilene Paramount Theater closed temporarily to revamp its concept and better appeal to the community. After careful consideration, they decided to reopen as a country music venue to entertain clients from Abilene and the neighboring suburbs.
Now? Or was this in, like, the 80s?
This was before, like, earlier, yeah.
Okay.
Not now. Like, oh, no, not now. Okay. The theater's owners hoped customers would rediscover their love for live music with these new offerings.
Did anybody ever lose their love for live music?
I don't know.
I feel like over my life, that's one consistent thing. Now, I'm not necessarily a fan of live music. Like, I don't mind it. I enjoy going to music shows. I'm not somebody who's willing to pay exorbitant ticket prices to go see live music when I can listen to a better version of it on my record player. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like live music as long as it's like my genre.
Well, even then, Aurora, my favorite artist. I don't know that I...
It's the experience.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily like the sound.
Like, I get it. Quality. I get it. You're in a room full of people, which is my nightmare.
I know. I get it.
Sweaty bodies pressing up against you. No, thank you.
Yeah.
No, thank you. I'll sit on my couch and I will watch a live stream.
The Abilene Preservation League worked tirelessly in 1984 to save the Paramount Theater from demolition. Just a month before destruction was set to take place, thanks to the organization's hard work and generous donations, accessibility ramps were installed, stages enlarged and modernized, and high-quality audio-visual systems were added so that artists could bring their best performances to life.
Neato.
Thanks to these heroic efforts, the Paramount Theater is a vivid reminder of what can be achieved when communities unite against all odds.
That sounds like the tagline for a Marvel movie.
Yeah. From 1985 to 1987, extensive renovations of the Paramount Theater resulted in a modern theater equipped with projection, audio, and lighting systems benefiting its historic character. Recognizing this accomplishment, the Texas Historic Commission presented its prestigious Texas Award of Historic Preservation.
Okay.
So, that's pretty cool. The following business plan sought financial stability by broadening its audience by becoming a cultural center for Abilene's performing arts. This meant hosting films, operas, concert series, ballet performances, plays, and more.
See, I would go to the ballet or an opera.
Yeah.
Where people are seated.
Yeah. I still want to see the Nutcracker at our local theater.
Do you know why you want to see that? Because every fucking Christmas I go, maybe someday you'll take me to see the Nutcracker. Yeah. Maybe someday you'll take me to see the Nutcracker. Maybe someday, maybe someday, maybe someday.
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 Someday. As King Julian would say, oh God, what's the line? On this day, I declare someday.
Someday. I like that show.
Too bad it's on Netflix.
I know.
Fuck Netflix.
When it reopened its doors in 1987, patrons returned in droves, eager to experience the classic charm and state-of-the-art facility amenities. Subsequently, the Paramount Committee, a nonprofit organization formed from the Abilene Preservation League, operates today to preserve the Paramount and promote professional live entertainment programs in Abilene.
Cool. At least it's not a church.
Yeah. The Historic Paramount Theater, Inc. is a 501c3 nonprofit organization focused on preserving and maintaining this historical landmark. Quote, we strive to offer programming that appeals to the broadest range of Abilene patrons while making the facility accessible to individuals, groups, art organizations, businesses, and corporations. To further our mission, we dedicate our efforts to creating diverse programming that engages and encourages all audiences. All right. Refill.
Time for a refill.
Refill.
Did you tell Eric what flavor this is?
I think I told him the right flavor, but I'm not sure.
Well, you can tell him right now. Okay.
All right. This is from the last time, because we're still drinking on it. It's Jose Cuervo Margaritas Tropical Paradise flavor. So...
You just buy it at Sam's Club. It was like the only pre-mixed margarita at Sam's Club.
And it's very, very delicious.
It's dangerously, very sweet.
Dangerously delicious, because I could drink the whole thing. I like it.
I can't... I have a hard time with this amount of sugar nowadays. I was eating a cheese Danish this morning after I had already had a yogurt. Have I told you about my yogurt obsession? The Noosa brand yogurt. Oh my God. It's so good. The strawberry rhubarb flavor specifically is like crack to my fragile white lady constitution. And so I ate my yogurt, which is not overly sweet, and I have it with my vanilla granola. And then I have this cheese Danish, and it's like just sugar. I couldn't eat the Danish. I love a good Danish.
Yeah.
But I couldn't eat the Danish. I had to throw the Danish away. I was like, this is, it's too sweet. Who am I?
I would have still eaten
it. What have I done with Ashley? I couldn't eat it. It was making me sick.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Back to the story. The Paramount Theater's successful revival has been integral in revitalizing downtown Abilene. Its influence has inspired many to take advantage of the potential redevelopment of historic structures and using them for positive change in the community.
Well, I thought downtown Abilene was super cute. They have that storybook walk thing.
Yeah, that's what they're talking about.
That your sister took us on? Okay.
Yeah, they're revitalizing downtown, and that was fun, yeah. The walk through the...
It was really cute.
...children's storybook
Well, and area. It went all over downtown. So it wasn't even just, like, one location. Because it started in the southern part of downtown, if I'm remembering my directions correctly.
I'm directionally challenged, so I don't know.
Like, south of where the theater is, is it a railroad station? Or a former railroad station or something? And then you go up towards was it an expo center type?
I think so.
Situation where all the construction was happening. They had like half of downtown completely closed off because they were building several buildings.
Yeah.
And you kind of had to walk through, like it was closed off to traffic, but you could walk. It was a long walk.
It was really nice, yeah. So, yeah, downtowns like that, they are, I don't know, it's just, hopefully more cities are going to be like that to revitalize their community like that.
Yeah.
So.
But also without displacing.
Yeah.
Vulnerable communities.
Yeah. At the Paramount, guests can bask in cultural performances and artistry from different groups, such as the Abilene Ballet Theater and Opera Association, Celebration Singers, Classical Chorus of Abilene, Abilene Community Band, and many more. Additionally, the Paramount produces original live theater productions every summer through their annual summer musical, which hires local amateur actors, set designers, costumers, choreographers, and some of the most talented musicians within the area.
We should go to a community theater production sometime.
That would be fun.
Some Sweeney Todd or Phantom of the Opera. Yeah.
In January 2003, an annual children's show was launched at the theater, followed by a play put up each September. Of course, it is well known for its movie series showcasing hundreds of films since 1987, with over 14,000 moviegoers turning up annually.
Wow!
So, now let's take a look inside this majestic theater. Let's start with the marquee. The Paramount Theater's marquee is a cherished and iconic symbol of the building's rich history. When approaching the theater, the marquee is the first thing that catches the eye, offering a glimpse of what awaits. Despite the trend towards digital signage, executive director Betty Huckle has decided to keep the marquee intact.
Okay. That's a good, like, good thing.
Yeah, it is.
Because
it shows, like, it keeps the historical part.
Yes. Of that. Not everything needs to be fucking digitalized. Yeah. Can we just stop? Also, in that same vein, can we just stop with the artificial intelligence? Like, just drop it like a fucking hot potato that it is and do no more with it. I know, sorry. Not everything needs to be digital. Not everything needs to be modern.
I don't know. The digital age is going to keep going and going, so there's no really stopping it.
It's probably not, but it's okay.
Where was I?
If society collapses, there will be no digital. And then we'll be wishing for our analog shit.
Anyway, executive director Betty Huckle has decided to keep the marquee intact, recognizing its importance in preserving the theater's character.
You're killing me.
I want to make sure people know what word I'm saying, you know.
See, but that's, whenever I see theater versus theater,
yeah.
I think theatre, not theater.
I say theater.
I know, anyway. But I think theatre.
The marquee features plastic lettering that snaps into place. A technique that
has... Snip, 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 snip.
Yep. Lovely office reference. A technique that has been used for decades. Although this method may seem outdated, it is a beautiful reminder of simpler times. Paramount employees often climb a ladder to change out the lettering, a task that requires a careful hand and keen eye for detail. As within any physical feature, the marquee is subject to the elements. On windy days in West Texas, letters may come loose and fall from the sign. However, Huckle remains optimistic and grateful. She appreciates the kindness of those who find the letters and return them to the theater's doorstep.
I bet they're hiding under the skirts with all the ankles.
Yeah. A small act of kindness that speaks volumes about the tight-knit community surrounding the Paramount.
Aww.
Next, theater-goers will step into the lobby. The lobby. As visitors approach the ticket booth, they are met with a breathtaking view, exquisitely crafted... Okay. They are met with the... Goddamn, I can't talk. They are met with a breathtaking view of exquisitely crafted chandeliers made of hand-blown glass panels.
But you can't feather dust them.
No. The intricate designs, along with the wrought iron sconces and rich hues, contribute to the overall ambiance of the area, establishing an inviting and sophisticated atmosphere. The bishop's chairs, which date back to circa 1840, offer a glimpse of the location's historical significance, while the wool carpet, with its reversed colors and original 1930s pattern, adds a layer of texture and depth to the decor.
What do you mean by reversed colors?
I'm not sure.
So according to a extremely quick Google search, reverse color wool carpet basically just means there's a pattern in the carpet.
Okay.
So why is it reversed?
I don't know.
Just say, I'm not talking to you.
Right.
Just say fucking pattern in the carpet.
Yep. Anyways. Then theatergoers will see the mezzanine. On the mezzanine, there are four exquisite portraits that catch the eye.
All of white men?
Among them, one captures the image of an unidentified woman whose identity remains shrouded in mystery, earning the portrait its affectionate moniker, the Paramount Ghost.
Who's the artist?
I'm not sure.
Well, I bet you if you search to the artist, you'll probably be able to find...
If you listen, woman.
Okay, sure.
This treasured piece was generously gifted to the Paramount by the esteemed Gooch family, whomever they might be.
What? There's a movie where somebody's name is Gooch. Gooch.
Isn't it,
from Scrubs!
No.
The ukulele, the sweaty Teddy's girlfriend, Stephanie Gooch.
Yeah. And I thought also from the Parks and Rec. What's his name? The Gooch or the... I don't fucking... Anyways.
Who are you talking about?
What's his name? I don't know.
Hey, Google. Parks and Rec's character, the Gooch? The douche, not the Gooch.
Oh, the douche.
From Parks and Rec. I just Googled it. He stopped recording and then had to restart again. No, Gooch is from Scrubs.
Yes. Okay.
Sweaty Teddy's girlfriend that nobody thinks exists.
It's amazing how much we veer off in this episode.
I know.
It's funny.
Anyways. It's because I have ADHD.
It's fine. On the north wall, one can marvel at a prop painting of the legendary Spencer Tracy, salvaged from certain destruction at a Dallas warehouse before making its way to the Paramount.
Whoa.
The remaining two portraits are no less significant, adorning the west wall with the faces of the beloved and long-serving Horace Wooten and Wally Aiken, who have each left their mark on the theater's rich history.
Hmm.
Wally Aiken was a longtime manager. Uh-huh. And then, of course, Horace Wooten was the builder.
Tell me again about him. I'm just kidding.
God. All right. The guest will find a seat in the auditorium. The theater boasts a remarkable capacity of up to 1,189 visitors, with about 700 seats on the lower level and an additional 500 on the balcony.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Patrons seated beneath the balcony are treated to an exquisite view of the intricate filigree designs adorning the ceiling in oval shapes, accompanied by hand-blown glass lights.
Ooh.
Yeah. The term filigree, because I didn't know what the fuck it was, denotes the delicate decoration formed by fine wires of gold or silver, mm-hmm. kind of like the intricate things in like rings and earrings.
Yes, I being a person no fucking with clue. A vagina, know what filigree is.
So, I guess any men do not know.
Okay, I guess you don't have to have a vagina to know what filigree is, okay, but
I don't know.
I'm not butch, so I'm far from it.
The soft blue neon lighting present within the theater creates a breathtaking illusion of a starry sky complete with twinkling stars and light clouds, all of which of the guests can savor.
Mm.
Moreover, the theater was equipped with a 36-foot orchestra lift in 1987, which can rise to stage level, expanding the stage's size to further enhance the visitor's viewing experience.
Well, that's just fucking fancy.
It is. Pretty cool. Finally, the guest sees the stage that holds all the performances. The theater stage is equipped with an impressive fly loft rigging system and modern digital sound, lighting, and projection equipment. The stage draperies have also been updated and A wireless monitoring system has been installed backstage for actors and musicians to easily keep track of their cues.
A wireless?
Wireless.
Wireless?
The stage is furnished with a Roscoe dance floor made of dense rubber mats to ensure a smooth and safe performance.
Rubber?
Yeah.
I thought stages were made out of wood.
Well, some are have like a rubber, like a thin rubber top, I guess, for more comfort and like.
Huh.
Like for like ballet, it's really really good for ballet. And
like no, I get the idea of why you would want rubber, but I guess I just. I've only ever seen wood flooring on stages. Yeah. And, like, wood is springy, too, which is why a lot of ballet studios use it.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Interesting. This is just an interesting observation, that's all.
The theater director, Betty Huckle, notes that the floor provides a level surface for dancers and a non-reflective black finish. Huckle also paraphrases renowned film director Robert Holliday, who believed that movie theaters in the 1930s were designed to create an immersive atmosphere, allowing viewers to fully engage with the film. Huckle adds,
talks to it and it talks back?
I don't know. Huckle adds that storytelling is a fundamental aspect of human experience and will continue to be so.
No way! That's like why it's so irritating whenever certain political groups target art.
Yeah.
As like useless, like they get rid of art programs and shit in schools because it's fucking useless or whatever. When literally humans have been like that's fucking cave paintings 30 fucking thousand years ago. You know what I mean?
I get it.
Art is as human as humans are human.
All right. And now for the hauntings. Finally. It is common that when old and historic structures fall into despair and are subsequently restored to or renovated into something new, the spirits that once cared for these structures may return to this world. They're often
delighted. Have they really ever left?
Probably not. Anyways, let's continue. Let me continue.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry, I was going to go on an ADHD rabbit trail, but you go ahead.
They are often delighted by the changes and improvements that have been made. These souls may have had an affinity for the place while alive, and their connection to it draws them back when it is historically restored. Such restored places often offer live performances, providing an opportunity for both the living and the deceased to enjoy the beauty and history of these beloved structures.
Well, also, if you think about, like, the energy within those, like, when there's a large group of people, similarly to how it is my nightmare.
Yeah.
It's perfect feeding ground for disembodied energies.
That's true, yeah. The theater holds a special place in the hearts of its patrons.
Patrons?
Patrons. I've been drinking a lot. A lot today.
Well, and you live in the 21st century where Patreon is like a thing.
Yeah, which I need to start soon, by the way.
Okay.
We'll get into that after.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Anyways. Okay. The theater holds a special place in the hearts of its patrons, who have been fortunate enough to experience many memorable movie and theater performances that allow them to escape from their daily troubles and concerns.
I want to do that.
What?
Escape from my daily troubles and concerns.
As a ghost or a live person?
Either. Okay. Or.
All right.
Both and.
Some of these patrons return as spiritual beings to enjoy whatever production is being presented. The Paramount, like many theaters, has its fair share of unseen spectral attendees, or perhaps even individuals who have a deep connection to the venue and still cherish the magic of the shows. There is a belief that portraits of people can sometimes contain the supernatural energy of the person depicted. Mm-hmm. One such portrait is of a woman mm-hmm. may reflect her passion for the theater, mm-hmm. and her spirit may still be attached to the artwork. Mm-hmm. And that's the one hanging in the...
Yes, the Paramount ghost.
Yeah.
Yes.
Moreover, there are some who think that the spirit of the esteemed manager, Wally Aiken, may also linger. Some even suggest that the ghostly presence could be that of Horace Wooten himself.
I mean...
Or all of them.
You put that much money into a building, you don't think that you want to stay there as long as fucking possible?
Yeah, no shit. Patron spirits have a deep fondness of the theatrical arts, including stage productions and movies. This particular group exudes a gentle demeanor and conduct themselves in a manner akin to courteous guests, despite not having paid for their admission.
Uh-huh. I mean, if I'm dead, why should I have to pay for shit?
No shit. I'm going to watch anything I can and do anything I can for free. God damn it.
This life bleeds me dry. I'm going to enjoy as much as I can for free when I'm dead.
No shit. That's our happy place
when we being die. Dead?
No, after we die, just fucking stay around and just do everything we wanted to do for free.
Well, considering we're Pavels, we'll probably get that opportunity. Because if you go based off of the Greek, this is the rabbit trail that you wouldn't let me go down a minute ago, but here we are anyway.
Okay.
The Greek version of the afterlife, you know, you have to pay to cross the river Styx.
Oh, yeah.
If you can't afford to pay to cross the river, you're earthbound for eternity. And that's also, that includes even wealthy people who weren't given the, quote, proper burial, where you're buried with a coin in your mouth.
That's true, yeah.
So, ha ha ha, joke's on you.
Anyway.
You're stuck with us poor bitches forever.
Fuck them. Anyways. It is undoubtedly a source of great pride for the spirits of Wally Aiken and Horace O. Wooten that live performances now take place on the newly constructed stage. Additionally, the complete restoration and renovation of the atmospherical movie palace is a remarkable achievement that surely fills them with a sense of satisfaction. The balcony is a preferred spot for these spectral theater enthusiasts, as they graciously give up their best seats to the living and paying audience members. Before the theater opens to the public during the early hours, when only the setup staff are present on the first floor, there have been reports of footsteps heard on the central staircase leading to the balcony.
Mm.
The staff working diligently to prepare the opening have confirmed hearing the unsettling sounds of footsteps echoing throughout the normally quiet theater.
Yeah.
After the curtains have closed and the last applause has faded away, the theater is deserted except for the diligent cleaning staff that remains on the ground floor. However, there have been reports of strange occurrences happening in the balcony area.
No shit!
In particular, some have claimed to hear footsteps making their way down the stairs, despite the fact that there are no visible signs of anyone being present. The eerie nature of these sounds has left many people unsettled and curious about the events in the seemingly empty theater. It seems that some interesting phenomena have been captured on camera on the balcony. The photos reveal mysterious orbs that cannot be attributed to dust or insects. It's fascinating to think about what could be causing these unexplained sightings. And you sent me a few pics.
I literally just sent you pics as you were talking.
Yeah. So she sent me a pic of the balcony section.
They're all the same picture, just some are in color and some are in black and white, and the one is zoomed in.
Yeah, and there's a spectral lady in the balcony.
In like, so it's the, I don't want to call it the hallway, but like the pass through where you like,
will you go up
down to get to your seat?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she looks, I don't know, I couldn't tell like scale wise. It looked like maybe she was bigger than the average human woman, but she maybe not. To me. Did she look normal to you? Okay.
Anyway. So if you were closing up on your own in this dark theater, would it make you afraid-ish?
Yeah, you wouldn't catch me in there alone. No. We have a closing team, sir.
Yeah, well.
And we don't go anywhere by ourselves.
Yeah. I still want to go ghost hunting, though. So.
Yeah. I hate being in my office alone after dark. I hate the winter.
Yeah.
I hate the winter.
Getting dark at, like, what, 5
4 o'clock? 4:30.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then having to close up
that's by what sucks myself about on the delivering weekends. Mail Ugh. In the winter. Freaking getting dark at, like,
it feels like... Yeah, but you're like not in the haunted building.
It's true.
By yourself.
Feels like midnight at, like, 6 o'clock at night.
Yes, we're not having that conversation, though.
I know.
I know, you want to take every opportunity you can to complain about delivering mail. It's fine. But... No, I don't like being alone after dark in big buildings.
I don't know. I want to go ghost hunting. I think it would be fun.
In a group? Sure.
Well.
You wouldn't catch me going ghost hunting by myself. No, thank you.
I'd do it on my own.
Would you? By yourself?
I would.
Nobody with you.
Yeah.
We're not talking like group sends you into morgue alone situation. Like, by yourself. That's unsafe to me.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I guess I'd have at least one extra person, maybe a small group. You know. Just to be safe. Just to be safe.
I'd have one extra person, maybe a small group.
Just to be safe.
Okay. Meanwhile.
Anyways. I actually don't know until I'm actually in that situation.
Yeah.
So,
like, I don't know. You know when you feel unsafe.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't want to be alone and have that I feel unsafe feeling.
Yeah.
That's my thing. Like, if I don't feel unsafe, I'm fine. But when I feel unsafe, I don't want to be alone.
Yeah. I get it.
But then you don't know if you feel unsafe until you feel unsafe.
Yeah.
So then it's just safe to have people with you just in case.
Yeah. Someone you can scream to, I guess.
Yeah. But also, I don't know. It's just that feeling of just not being alone.
Yeah. Anyways, I guess that's it.
That's it. That's Paramount Theater.
Paramount Theater in Abilene, Texas.
Cheers.
It's the Paramount. Cheers. Anything else you want to bitch about?
So many things, but I'll spare your audience.
Anyways, I hope you liked the episode.
Yeah.
I was a little drunk. So,
a little bit.
And I was stumbling on my words.
A little bit. That's fine.
More than usual, you know.
I don't know about that.
So it's
gardening season. If you haven't gotten your hands in the dirt, get the fuck outside and get your goddamn hands in the motherfucking dirt.
No.
No, but in all seriousness, get your hands in the dirt. It feels so good. It really does. The earth is so cleansing and grounding. Ugh.
Anyways. If you have any stories or requests of anything you want to hear about or know anyone who does, please, if you've got any interesting stories or personal...
If your grandpa's, uncle's, cousin's, friend's, nephew's, sister's, girlfriend told a story...
I want to hear about it. God dang it. I want to hear about it. I think we have a couple of personal stories when we go to the Arkansas bonus episode.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
You know, one of my friends from work is from Arkansas, and his girlfriend has some stories.
Oh, who?
Grayson's girlfriend, Maddie.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully she can hook me up with some stories. And
I have a couple personal stories from some clients who, like us, are Eureka freaks.
Nice.
And there are some situations that have happened both at the Crescent and the Basin.
So our Arkansas bonus episode is going to be a very interesting and fulfilling episode.
I certainly do hope so.
Yeah.
Minus opportunity to say theater.
Theater. Anyways, so if you got any of that shit, email me at afraidishpodcast@gmail.com, Instagram and Facebook at afraidishpodcast, and I am still trying to find time to get my website up.
It's a slow process. Listen.
Well, I just haven't found the time to even start working on it.
That's what I mean. Like, yeah. Coming from somebody who has built 3 websites from fucking scratch, it's not an easy process. And we're Pavels, so yeah. We're not paying people to build websites for us.
This is true.
So.
Yeah. And as usual, the links will be in the show notes. Pics will be on
Instagram.
Social media. Also rate and review on Apple Podcasts and read on Spotify. You can listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher.
Anywhere podcasts are sold.
Yeah. And there's another
sold? What? What?
Anywhere podcasts.
Anywhere you listen to podcasts.
It's been a long night.
It's been a very long day.
And also on YouTube, I put it on YouTube. There's no video, there's just like pictures of my logos and shit.
That's fine.
I'm going to rebrand the logo to a simpler logo so I can put it on
merch.
Some merch coming soon, hopefully. Also, a video for Patreon. So expect Patreon if you're interested in paying a few dollars a month.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
If you're into it.
Eric.
Probably. I don't know. We'll see. Probably not. I don't know.
Who wants to look at our ugly mugs?
I don't know. People from OnlyFans.
That's for feet.
I'd do it.
You just want to point a camera at our feet while we talk?
I'd do it. That's extra money. Anyways.
I'll paint my toes. Nails. My toenails.
Anyways,
I'll probably end up painting my toes too because I can't fucking see for shit.
So yeah, I want to do video too for like Patreon and stuff like that. Other podcasts do it, so why not me?
I mean, why not?
Yeah. And I guess that's it.
I guess that's it.
And as always, don't be afraid of the dark.
Be afraid-ish of what's in it.
Bye.
Bye. Ha 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 ha!